And well, everyone, welcome to Plains Presbyterian Church.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who made that life for me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, it's time to stand and say that I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Boy, thank you, Ron Carter. That's two times I've had to follow, like, you know, tremendous music, and it's that's a very special song. And I know Ron sings it, you know, each year pretty much. And thank you, Ron, for sharing your gifts and your talents. It's wonderful. Our first reading today is from Matthew in your Pew Bibles. It's on page 844, Matthew 10, verses 40 through 42. And you know, when you're liturgist, you know, there's like a different Bible up front all the time. And I always look in the front and I look to see like the little dedication plate, you know, it looks, I'm not careful, I'll lose my page here, but you know, there's like one of these little dedication things in the front. And today, the Bible is sponsored by our own Nora Collins. How about that, Dorsey? Years ago, you probably made a donation for a Bible, and you're like, I never saw that Bible. I don't. They took that money and ran away with it. But here, here it is. It worked. It's your Bible's up front today. So how about that? Half the time I read them, it's like somebody that died like 50 years ago. I don't have any idea who it is. You know, given by, you know, somebody. It's like, who is that? You know. Anyway, I digress. Matthew 10, verses 40 to 42. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. He who receives a prophet because he is a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly, I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. This ends our first reading.
If you'll notice that when I sit, I always, we have three chairs here, and I always sit in this chair to the to my right, to your left, and that's because I always feel like that center chair is there for Christ, and I feel like he is next to us as we come to this word, and we get to hear God's words. They are coming through his Spirit into us and into our hearts. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Hear these words of the apostle. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, to make you obey their passions. Do not yield your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but yield yourselves to God as men who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then, are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you yield yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, who were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once yielded your members to the impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now yield your members to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But then what return did you get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the return you get is sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Tuesday is, of course, 4th of July. It is a time of celebration as we gather together as family and friends, picnics, hot dogs, barbecue, fireworks. It is a great time. It is, of course, the time that we celebrate the signing of our Declaration of Independence and the birth of our nation. We talk about our country as being the land of the free. This concept of freedom, though, means different things to different people. There are some who believe that we should be free to do whatever we want without government interference. This is a position that has become more popular in the last few decades. As I would go and visit my parents in Oregon, I would often run across this attitude among Oregonians. Oregon was one of the first states to legalize both medicinal and recreational marijuana use. There are signs everywhere for marijuana dispensaries. Many Oregonians believe that what you do in private should be your own choice, and that the government shouldn't interfere in personal decisions. Now, I'm not here to argue the merits or detriments of marijuana. When it comes to drugs, I often look at it through the eyes of someone who grew up witnessing the effects of addiction. For much of my childhood, my father was an alcoholic. He used alcohol to avoid the problems of our family. It was his means of coping with our dysfunctional family. But the problem was that alcohol didn't make our problems go away. It just masked them. When I was 18, my father admitted on his own that he was an alcoholic. And he entered AA, Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, when he first told me that he would stop drinking, I didn't believe him because we had been down this road many times before. My dad would admit his alcoholism and he would stop drinking for a while. But then when the problems of our family would resume, he would eventually return once again to drinking. My father was what you would call a functional alcoholic. He wouldn't drink during the week. He held a job. He was a loving and caring father. But on the weekends, he would begin to drink and isolate himself. His mother was also an alcoholic. One of my cousins became an alcoholic. So there's most likely a genetic predisposition in our family. My father used to say that we are blessed to come from a long line of nice alcoholics. They don't get mean and nasty. They just isolate and ignore their problems. My dad did not want my brother and I to face the problems that he had. I remember the look on his face when he had learned that I had been to a party in high school and had gotten intoxicated. Sadness filled his eyes, his shoulders slumped, and he said, "I was hoping that you could avoid the mistakes that I had made." It was on that day that I chose not to drink. My brother and I have avoided alcohol because we witnessed through our dad what could happen. It was our father's authenticity that taught us not to drink. So when I look at alcohol and marijuana or anything that one is addicted to, I see the debate of freedom a little differently. As an alcoholic, my dad was a slave to his addiction. For much of our history, alcohol has been legal in the U.S. My father didn't do illicit drugs. He didn't drink and drive. He didn't abuse us or get into fights with neighbors. He was an upstanding citizen who had a drinking problem. It was not something he could turn off. A bunch of rules and regulations would not have stopped him from drinking. But just because it was legal did not make my father free. Our family was still caught in the cycle of alcoholism. And it had a hold upon us. When my father died, he had stayed true to his word that he had given when I was 18. For 30 years, he remained clean and sober. My dad never went back to his addiction. So what made this time different than all the others? Well, first of all, he did not do it alone. He joined Alcoholics Anonymous, and he had others around him to encourage him along the way. Up until my dad entered a home to deal with his dementia, he attended a weekly meeting. He knew that he needed others in order to keep him strong, others that understood what he had gone through, others who understood the powers of addiction. He needed these relationships to keep him accountable and on the right path. Second, my dad knew that through AA, he would always be a slave to his addiction. The only source of freedom from this slavery was to never pick up a drink again. He realized that he was not in control. Now, there are millions of people who could pick up a drink and not become an alcoholic. But my dad knew that he was not one of those. That is why my brother and I chose not to drink. Because we did not want this fate for ourselves. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, talks about our freedom in Christ. Our freedom from the slavery of sin. Before AA ever talked about being a slave to addiction, Paul understood that as humans, left to our own devices, we too are bound, not to God, but to sin. The scriptures reveal that we cannot help it. We have a spiritual predisposition to sin. Now, if there's anyone out there who does not believe in original sin, I encourage you to take care of a group of two-year-olds. Every toy becomes mine, mine, mine. Paul knew that we as humans cannot help but sin. He says, "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness." For Paul knew that as humans, we cannot help but be slaves to our desires. We do not have a choice. We are addicted to sin. Sure, like my father, who went to work and functioned during the week, we do not sin all the time. But are left to on our own, we will eventually succumb. For me, it becomes evident every time I get into a car and somebody cuts me off. In fact, it was so bad that when my daughter Kara was just a little girl, when she would get in the car, she would say, "Idiot!" Now, this is only the tip of the iceberg of sin in my own life. As we become Christians, we become more aware of the sin in which we fall into as humans. It is why we confess our sins during worship. Because we know that we need to be cleansed of our sin. We need to be coming here together to receive God's grace and redemption. Paul understood that left to ourselves, we will be slaves to sin. But he also understood the way out of sin is through relationship. My relationship with my Father, knowing His love, knowing His care, convinced me to refrain from drinking. It helped me to choose a different path. So too, we are offered another path in our relationship with Jesus Christ. With Christ, we are offered a way out of our slavery to sin. Paul tells us we can bind ourselves to slavery of sin, or we can bind ourselves to the one who sacrificed himself for our sin. When we bind ourselves to Christ, we choose a different master. We become servants of righteousness, bound to the one who paid with his life on our behalf. And so he is called the Lord of righteousness. We no longer belong to Satan, for we have been redeemed. We have been ransomed by the blood of Christ. We belong to Him. Paul tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of Jesus Christ is eternal life. As we bind ourselves to Christ, we receive life. We set aside the punishment in which we deserve, and we take the gift of salvation presented to us. Paul encourages us as Christians to use the same energy that we put into sin in order to put into righteousness. To continue to follow Christ and God's kingdom. We owe our loyalty to Christ. Often those who have been saved from their past often want to show their gratitude by giving back to others who suffer from the same predicaments. This was true of my father. Besides attending and supporting AA, he also became a sponsor to many recovering alcoholics, helping them to work through their issues, just as he did. They always knew that they could call upon my father, and he would be there to listen and help them through. By giving back, my father was able to show his gratitude for his being saved from his addiction. But he was also strengthened as well. It made him a more understanding human being. So too, when we follow Christ, when we give back, we too are strengthened, and we become more human. What sin takes away, Christ returns. By following Christ, loving kindness, acting justly, doing God's will, we become better people. We become servants of righteousness, servants of our Master. But just because we have accepted Christ does not mean that we will never sin again. And there are many recovering alcoholics who fall off the wagon. But having accepted their alcoholism, they are more likely to re-enter back into recovery. So too, when we slip up, we too return back to Christ. We should not give up the good fight. Every week we come here to worship, to confess our sins, to rededicate ourselves to Christ's service. We recommit to be servants of His kingdom. And every week, He picks us up anew. So friends, do not be fooled. Until we die or Christ returns, we will continue to struggle with sin. However, in Christ and through Christ, we have the ability to put our sin behind us, to choose a different path, a different master to serve. To know Christ is to know freedom. To choose Christ is to find freedom from our past. Let us enter into the covenant of freedom found only through the Lord of righteousness. For He has come to set us free. Amen.